tell you, I've knocked this off about 10 times today.
Take the mask off and knock it off. Take the glasses off and knock it off. Take my guitar off and knock it off. And maybe God's telling me, knock it off. Oh, well. Good to have you here this morning. Good to have you those that may be here with us there. What do you see there? All right, look, we're gonna have about six slides. I don't know how many exactly. I think it's six, right, Dave? Now, I want you to pay close attention to each slide because I'm going to have a quiz. Okay? Understand? Everybody understand? Yeah, okay. Everybody that misses more than two of the six slides, I get your stimulus check. If you get them all right, you can have duties. Okay, so here's the first slide. Maybe we ought to dim these lights a minute, if we can. Just so they could see the slides, okay? All right, slide number two. Slide number three. Everybody know that was my grandson, Thaddeus. Slide number four. Slide number five. Slide number six. Okay. What was the best slide? That's first question, huh? You mean there wasn't the best one? Five? Okay. Huh? Five and six happen to be just so everybody understands it. Five and six happened to be taken right from the balcony when we were down in Texas on the beach. So my balcony out our room faced the beach, and, you know, so five and six were from Texas. You know, we spent 2 weeks, and it was like 70 degrees every day. Okay. Slide number, which one was the snow? Three, four, that one. Okay. That was West Virginia on our way home from Texas. It was 70 the day before, and look what we got. Okay. So everybody, how many say five was the best? All right. How about another one? You know what number one was? That was the full moon and the eastern star. Yeah. Okay. All right. What's a common theme in all these slides? It's not my vacation. Huh? Weather? That's a good theme. What else? Go back to number two. Beauty of God. Go back to go on back one more. Yeah. That one right there. That's Thaddeus. That's my great grandson. Every one of these slides shows you light and darkness in a different way. Why? Because in every one of the slides, there's a certain amount of light. The one with the house, the light was the most, it was bright, shiny, and the house looked clean and new. The one with the moon, you could see the mountain down there that was just black. There was light and darkness. And unfortunately, when you look at life, there's always light and darkness. Okay? And I was going to have a slide that was just totally black and say, that's my favorite. You know? And then have another slide to show you why. I was going to have the light under a box and lift the light and show you something really nice. And I didn't get a chance to do that. But light and darkness coexist in this world. We don't always have light. And even when we have light, we have some darkness. Look there. Okay. Now this is at 7 o'clock their time. That's when the sun would rise down there. The beach was still somewhat dark. You know. And then that one with the clouds on the sunrise. See, the clouds was hiding the sun. you had some darkness there. You know, in the snow, yeah, I know the sun was shining, but I couldn't see it with that snow, right? And so there's light and darkness. And what I want you to look at today is every one of those pictures, the light, came from different sources, didn't it? We as Christians have one source of light. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And so we're going to look this morning at 1 John chapter 2. And I'm going to read this out of the Amplified Bible, which is six times longer than the others. But there's a couple of things I want you to pick up in the Amplified. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to leave out all the parentheses ones, so make it a little shorter. Okay? 1 John chapter 2, and we're going to look at verse 1 through 11. My little children, I am writing you these things so that you will not sin and violate God's law. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins. The atoning sacrifice that holds back the wrath of God. Listen to that. The atoning of our sins is the atoning sacrifice that holds back the wrath of God that would be otherwise directed at us because of our sinful nature. Understand, we're going to stop there for a minute. Do you understand that even though we are believers, and you see this, my little children, he is writing this to believers, okay? And he's saying, Jesus is the atoning sacrifice for the sins. Otherwise, we would face the wrath of God. Our sin is forgiven, but our sin isn't gone. We still, it says, if you do sin, you have an advocate. Just because our sin is forgiven doesn't mean we're going to live without sin. It doesn't mean that there's no more darkness in our life. Why? Because darkness is the natural thing that we were born with. And so in the darkness, there is sin. And we have that. But John's telling us is that Jesus holds back the wrath of God through his atoning sacrifice so that we might not be affected by the wrath of God when we do sin. See, it's not the fact that you'll never, ever, ever, ever sin. It's the fact is we have an atoning sacrifice to hold back the wrath of the God if and when we do sin. And this is how we know that we have come to know him, is we obey his commandments. Now, I want to read here. This is part of the Amplified, and I want to read this to you. This is how we know, daily by experience, that we have come to know him. To understand him, be more deeply acquainted with him, if we habitually keep focused on his precepts and obey his teachings. Did you hear that? Did you hear what it said there? It says, we know if we habitually, okay? See, we all have habits. Some have good habits, some have bad habits, some of us have both. Maybe some of you have neither or. I don't know. I have some good habits, and you could ask my wife, she'll probably point out all my bad habits. But we have those, okay? But what John is saying here is, what's habitual? What do we make as part of our life? Do we make the worldliness side, or do we make the light side, the habit of our life? Whoever says that I've come to know him, but not habitually keep his commandments, is a liar. The truth of the divine word is not in him, but whoever habitually keeps his word and obeys his precepts and treasures his message in entirety, this in him the love of God has been perfected, and it is complete and has reached maturity. By this we know that we are in him. Whoever says he lives in Christ ought to walk and conduct himself as he walked and conducted himself, as Jesus Christ walked. And so he's writing this in a manner in which we get a different idea of what it means to walk in Christ. He says, I'm not writing a new commandment. He says, but it's an old commandment. He says, you heard it from the beginning. The old commandment's the message you've heard. He says, the message is I'm writing a new commandment, which is true in realizing Christ and in you, because the darkness is clearing away and the true light is already shining. The darkness is receding. Now, if you notice in this picture right here, this is at 7 a.m., and I could have shown you, because I have some, I could have shown you a picture, say, 10 minutes later, and it looks totally different. Because, see, the darkness is still there, okay? When I went outside and that sun was just starting to raise, the darkness was still around us because it wasn't light yet. It was a little bit light, but as you can see, can you really clearly make out the beach? You know, that dark part below the sunrise is the beach. You see the ocean waters there, that's the beach, but you can't clearly make it out. Because the darkness has not been completely swept away. And that's what I want you to hear this morning is the message is we're talking about the light of Jesus Christ and how much darkness can affect that beauty. I heard the answer I was looking for out of Jean. She saw the beauty of God. I want you to understand the beauty of Christ shines through us. But the darkness can hide the beauty. And so we have to look at that. One who loves and unselfishly seeks the best for his brother lives in the light, and in there is no occasion for stumbling and offense. Who habitually hates his brother is in darkness and is walking in the darkness, and does not know where he's going before as the darkness has blinded his eyes. The key word that is put into this scripture in the Amplified that you don't find in the others, and you find similar, but the key word is habitual. Habitually. Are we habitually seeking the light? Are we making that a priority in our life? Because we have to understand is that there are some things that we do that we think is making it all better, but it doesn't always do that. You know, I hear the question at times, why do good people do bad things? Do you ever ask that question? Why do good people do bad things? Huh? Because inherently, the darkness is still within us, no matter how good we are. You know? The darkness is still within us. And so, as in some of these pictures, you know, in the one with the moon and the eastern star, what you see is more darkness than light. But the moon and the star are shining out still. There was still beauty there, wasn't it? See, I want you to understand is, even Christians, when they slip, are still beautiful. It's just not, you're just not seeing it. And so what we do is we start getting that little word that's in there that some people don't like to hear. We start getting judgmental. Now, I guess it isn't such a little word. A little word with a great big meaning, though, huh? Because, see, we as Christians start judging other Christians not by the fact that they have the beauty of the light, but by the fact is how they're shining forth. And everybody's walking in a different aspect of life. And some people shine the light and you never see it. And other people you think are shining the light, and it's really not working. We try to build a good world around us, right? Yeah, we it says leave worldliness. So what do? We listen to Christian music. We read God's word. We just hang out with good people. And we build a good world around us. Does that make us good? Unfortunately not, because where's the corruption come from? The corruption comes from within. So we can surround ourselves with everything of what we feel is Christian, but there's still corruption within us. And that's what we have to understand, is that corruption is what's driving the darkness. God, now don't stone me for this, but I'm going to tell you something. God doesn't look for good people. Okay? If you're good people, God doesn't care. All right? He doesn't care how good you are. Remember the Pharisee was saying, look, I do this, I do this, I do this, I do this. And God said, yeah, okay, you do a lot of good things, but what? The corruption within is worse than all the good things you do. See, God's looking for devoted people. Devoted people. God's looking for people who are devoted to letting the light out. To letting that light shine in the world of darkness. We often take the path of least resistance. You know? God says sometimes And Tracy, you said you're not qualified to do this, you're not qualified to do that, and you're not qualified to do this and everything else and that. If we ever went on our qualifications, none of us would never accomplish anything. Because in all honesty, we're not qualified unless, you know, just because, have you ever had a bad nurse that you sat and you looked at that nurse and said, man, that person doesn't belong to being a nurse, but she's qualified. Did that make her a devoted nurse? See, people think they qualify first. If we had to be qualified, I can guarantee you Christ would not have accepted me. Because I wasn't qualified for anything. You know? You know, you guys know I worked at Penn United, and I became the top quality manager at Penn United Technology. Okay. If you'd have looked at my qualifications, you'd have said, how on earth did that happen? Okay. I met with people all over the world, and I met with people with all these fancy degrees and all this stuff. But you know what? They didn't know any more than I knew. I learned all that stuff by reading it and doing it and stuff like that. But I didn't have that piece of paper that says, oh, you got this degree, you got that degree. You can ask Dave. Westinghouse won't hire you unless you have a degree. Right, Dave? Huh? Yeah. If you go to Westinghouse. Now, would I have been qualified to work at Westinghouse? I'll tell you what. After 35 years at Penn United, I would definitely qualify to work there. But I didn't have that degree that said I was qualified. And so when you look at those qualifications, is God speaks through us. That's the qualification. If you've accepted Jesus Christ, you're qualified to do something for God. And he'll ask you to do something. I like that because she said, Moses, yeah, Moses said, I'm not qualified. What do I do? Hey, you got a brother. That brother, he knows how to talk. I'm going to take that brother of yours and he can talk for you. You just tell him what you want him to say and he'll stand there and orate all time. You know? Could Aaron make the plans that Moses did? No. But he could talk. Was he hearing what God was saying directly from God? No. Moses was saying, hey, I want you to say this. And Aaron said, okay. See, God used Moses to tell Aaron to tell the people. We're all able to shine a light so many different ways. God is in the light. In him there is no darkness. In God, in Jesus Christ, in the Holy Spirit, there is no darkness. And so The goal that we have as Christians is to fill our life and walk in that fellowship. Be the light in the darkness. You see that? Living the call. Be the light in the darkness. That's what God calls us to be, is light in the darkness. And even though we may have darkness within us yet, He calls us to be that light. He's the atonement. He's the one that brings salvation. And so anybody, isn't this wonderful? No matter what your qualification is, no matter who you are, no matter what your name is, no matter how much money you make, no matter what your job is, no matter who your relatives were, you all have an opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Right? Right? And there are people out in the world that we look at and say, man, they will never accept Christ. Do they have that opportunity? Absolutely. We all have been given the opportunity, and it's not based on qualifications. It's based on the fact that we believe in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the light. The Holy Spirit comes into our life, and the light then is there. Sometimes we just don't let it out. When you look at somebody and you know, man, that's a Christian, and you say, they're doing stuff that they shouldn't do. They probably know they're doing stuff they shouldn't do. Okay? And they have made a choice to let that darkness, that sin, be part of their life. And that's what God was talking about here when He says habitually. You know, you do something wrong. You think about this. That little boy Thaddeus. Oh, he's a joy. We had him yesterday for a few hours. And he's funny and he's a character. But you got to watch him. I mean, you know, he's 1 and a few months. You got to watch him. Because sometimes he'll do something that he shouldn't do. You know, want to grab a hold of the plugs. And even though he knows no, and even though he understands, you tell him no, and if you don't watch him, guess what happens? Huh? You that have grandchildren that you have around, you can tell them no, and what happens if you don't watch them? Huh? Yeah. You know, don't you take no cookie out of that cookie jar. And then the top of the cookie jar, you hear it coming off. You know, well, wait, I already told you not to do that. See, God's the same way with us. God tells us what we should and shouldn't do. And we make a choice at times to still disobey. And the thing is, if we habitually start walking in that darkness, guess what happens? We lose our light. Isn't anybody going to argue with me? Huh? Do you lose your light? Huh? It's dimmer. What is it? If I took a picture of a flashlight under a box in total dark, was the light still there? Right? In the picture of the snow, was the sun still shining? Up above them clouds, it was still shining. Out there today, it's raining. It's gray. It's dark. Can you see the sun in this picture? Huh? You can't? Yeah, it's right there. Can't you see it? I see it. Now, what happens is that sun is totally blocked by the clouds. But is it dark? Not totally, huh? So that's what I want you to understand is Christians, if they have truly accepted Jesus Christ, their light might be behind the darkness. The darkness might be encompassing them in that, and they're maybe in a rough spot. But the light of Jesus Christ still is there. You're just not letting the light out. Because the darkness is hiding it. The clouds is hiding the sun. You're not allowing, because of your choices, that light to shine. And so it's something that we have to understand, is that we have to be continually working on letting that light out and blocking the darkness. And the more we block the darkness, the more light that gets out. If we can block the darkness, the light gets out. Guess what? If I could, I couldn't do it, but if I could instantly go poof and all the clouds went away today, the light would be there. It's there. It's the darkness that is hiding that light from getting out. If you remember, you know, the Bible tells us that men like darkness because it hides. It hides the defects. Any of you, some of you will. You remember when Walter Mondale and Ronald Reagan had a debate? And it was really, they had the lights really bright. And how bad Walter Mondale looked. I mean, he looked old. Ronald Reagan was older, but he looked old. The lights brought out how bad he really looked. You know, bright lights bring out the defects. As a quality guy, what was the first thing I wanted to do? I wanted to look under lighted magnification. Light that up, you know? I installed some recessed lighting in my daughter and son-in-law's trailer this week. We put LED lights in. And we had the old regular light bulbs, you know, have that yellow look and whatever. And we put the lights in, and these were adjustable recessed lighting, and put it up to the top, and my daughter goes, "That's too bright." It was too bright. It showed some of the defects. Well, see, the object for us is to have so few of defects that when the bright light is shining, people see the light, not the defects. And so that's how we should be living our life. I remember years back, made a trip down to Texas. I have relatives in Texas, so, you know, we enjoy going down there. But I think this was maybe one of the first trips down. And we went to my cousin's house. And we were there in the evening, and so it was really nice. So we're going outside to sit on the deck. Okay? What was the problem with that, Jude? There was cockroaches everywhere. Okay? I mean, they're just everywhere. They're on the fence. They're on the... everywhere, everywhere. Just thousands of cockroaches. And I'm like, wow. And I asked my cousin, "Can't you spray or something?" And she says, "Yeah, you can. But the spray only lasts so long." And she says, "And if everybody doesn't spray together so that all the cockroaches are killed and got away, well, then the neighbor's cockroaches come into our yard." And I thought about that as I was preparing here. When it's light, you never see any of the cockroaches. When it's dark, all the cockroaches come out. And even though you did what was right, your neighbor's cockroaches encroached on you. See, sometimes other Christians influence us in our thoughts and our light, don't they? If somebody says, "Well, you know, I don't think it's that bad to do this," what's Satan do? Starts telling you, "Well, they do it, so it must be okay. Must be." And so their darkness can influence you. And sometimes, and I want to make it very clear, is the light you have and the light they have may have different paths. It's still the same light. It's Jesus Christ. May have different paths. And so we start looking at other people's walks of life, and we may think, well, we'll adjust ours accordingly, and then that becomes darkness in ours. Why? Because that darkness is hiding our light. Proverbs 4:19 said, the way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. I want you to understand, God puts a light within you so that you can shine in a world. We are Jesus' voice, okay? Just like Aaron was for Moses. We are God's voice in this world. Sometimes we speak. Sometimes we listen. Sometimes we do one thing and do something else. But all those things can show the light. When you do something good for somebody, that can show the light. And have you ever had anybody that you did something good for, even though you knew they didn't like you? Have you ever done something good for somebody that couldn't stand you? I see some head going. Why? You were letting your light shine despite the darkness, weren't you? See, habitually loving others. I mean, sometimes we have to do good for somebody that we know that. And sometimes we know we're going to do good and they're just going to stand there and kick mud in our face anyhow. Right? They're going to kick that mud in our face. Does that stop us from doing what God tells us to do? No. We still do that good. Light and darkness does not coexist. Light and darkness battle. Okay? It's not like I can say, well, I can have this much darkness and this much light and I'm good. Light and darkness are battling constantly. And the only way we can be the light in the darkness is to do what Jesus Christ leads us to do. Next time God asks you to do something, you say, well, God, I can't do that because I'm not qualified. Just think back what Tracy said. You know? The darkness continues and always will try to block us from doing God's work. Satan controls the darkness. He will always try to stop us from doing God's work. The only way we can survive is to be that light and to continually drive the darkness down. Will we ever be totally rid of the darkness? Yes. When we die and we're in that glorious place of heaven, we won't have any darkness. Just think about that. There is no darkness. When we step from this world into the next, we become the glorious light totally. Until then, we have to continually battle the darkness that Satan puts within our lives. And that can be many, many things. Don't live habitually in the darkness, but live habitually in the light of Christ. And God says, you will be blessed. And he will work. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this opportunity to look at light and darkness. And God, may we accept the fact that if a believer accepts Jesus Christ and really has given their heart to them, that even though there may be darkness in their life, that the light is still there. And help us to reach out and to make that light brighter. Help us through helping others make their light shine brighter. We are shining brighter, Lord. And the goal is that we become like that sun that is not just rising, but the sun that is in full view and shining that light, and nothing is blocking it. God, may we be that people that you've called us to be, so devoted to you that we are standing in full view with that light shining and people see the light. And even though there may be some darkness within our life, we are continually driving it away, choosing not to follow the path of darkness, but to let the light shine. Be with each one this week. Touch each one. Keep each one safe. We ask it in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You are dismissed.